Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. So instead of doing the typical podcaster thing of telling a personal story or giving you insights into something that is going on in order to build rapport as we are supposed to, I'm going to go ahead and instead dive into the content of today's show because I have a lot to get through, so I don't have any time to waste up front. So let's go ahead and start off with something a little lighthearted. Now, the first story is a little lighthearted, but it's also something that is going to have serious impacts going on in the future. And a recent report has come out and told us that, hey, birth rates in the United States are on the decline. Well, yes, we've kind of known that it was on the decline, and it's been on the decline for quite some time. And there's a lot of reasons for why it's on the decline. But, of course, this being reported by the New York Times, they kind of missed some of the more obvious things. And try to go off and say, oh, we don't really know what's causing decline in birth rate. Now, what's funny is how The View tries to cover this. You know those shrills on The View? How they try to cover and talk about the declining birth rate. So let's take a look and see what they have to say.
New York Times reports that birth rates in America have fallen to the lowest levels in about 90 years, especially in parts of the country with the greatest job growth for women. Other reasons include people who say they can't afford it right now or just feel they don't need to have kids right now. And oddly enough, it doesn't have anything to do with abortion, which I am thrilled to see because it really becomes a different conversation. So, Sarah, you had a family later in life. Can you relate to these things that women are saying about why they're not having children at this time?
Well, yeah, but I think they're overlooking one major thing. If anyone thinks I thought I want to start having babies at 38, like that wasn't a choice and I wasn't putting it off or waiting, maybe indirectly by focusing on other things, but I was simultaneously trying to find my person for life and create a family, and both can happen at the same time. I just wasn't getting lucky in that lane until I finally did. So I think we don't account enough for people not finding people. A lot of my friends that don't have babies are just not in relationships and they want to have one to have a baby. You can also do it on your own, I understand.
Okay, so there's quite a few stupid things. Of course, this being The View and the New York Times, of course, we understand that there's going to be a lot of stupid statements that are made. So birth rates are declining, and their assessment is it's not due to abortion. Really? I mean, think about this. Abortion, a process by which babies are murdered in the womb, a process by which expecting mothers go in to terminate the pregnancy so the child's never born, and then you're going to go off and say that had no impact on declining birth rates, the termination of pregnancies before they're born? Really? Now, they might be able to go off and try and make this claim on a year-by-year basis. You know, year-over-year, it doesn't have much of an effect. Well, what about the accumulated effect? You know, think about how long abortion has been going on. Think about all the millions of babies that have been aborted over the past few decades. The millions, the tens of millions at this point. What effect do you think that may have had on declining birth rates in the United States? The decline are the prevention of population growth or the slowing of population growth and how that might have an effect on declining birth rates by the fact that we've been terminating pregnancies for decades in the tune of tens of millions by now. So this whole claim that, no, this process by which we terminate pregnancies prior to birth has had no effect on the decreasing birth rate of the United States. These are the morons. Now, in the later part of that, you hear about how they have waited later on in life to get married. You know that they would have liked to have had babies sooner, but they just couldn't find that right partner. Oh, the jokes just write themselves here. So maybe in addition to abortion, one of the big problems here is that about half the women in the United States, the leftist half, have become unbearable man-hating shrews. And part of the reason for declining birth rates could be because men cannot stand being around liberal women and stay clear, especially young liberal women. Now, luckily, some of them, as they get older, kind of get a little smarter and are not as dumb as those on The View. And so as they wise up and become less man-hating shrews, they all of a sudden find it easier to find a partner. Right. So, I mean, there is that little bit of a possibility here. as far as declining birth rates, because it turns out men have to actually be able to stand being around you. And by the way, for left-wing men, there's a problem of women not finding you attractive on either side of the political spectrum. So you have to be able to actually stand and tolerate being around the other person before you would even consider purposely having kids with them and having a family with them. So there is that possible effect on the declining birth rates. Now, there was one part in there where it doesn't have to deal with left-wing ideology that may be having an effect on declining birth rates. And that is, we are seemingly coming across having some fertility issues. Whether those fertility issues are with men or with women, it's unknown at this particular point in time, what the basic infertility rate is between both genders. Now, of course, men, we will maintain our fertility throughout our entire life, where women, they have a biological clock by which they can't get pregnant anymore. They can't procreate anymore. Why that is, why men are fertile for life and women aren't, I don't know. But, there are some fertility issues that seem to be affecting us. And it's not something that is affecting the entire human race. There are people who are popping out babies like nothing, having litters, like babies, not babies, but like rabbits. So there might be something to the infertility issue that is starting to affect the United States. Some environmental factor or something possibly within our diet. Maybe all the preservatives that are pumped into our foods. Maybe all the GMOs that are in the food that we consume. Or maybe there is some other environmental factor. But there does seem to be something that is affecting the fertility rates of both men and women inside of the United States that needs to be addressed and looked into before we go extinct from infertility. Now, it could be that, we in the human race are, been around for a while, that maybe it's just part of the natural evolutionary process that we are just losing our fertility and are on the starting of extinction. That's a possibility. Or it could be something that we can solve. All right. So there are that, but for them to go off and try to say that abortion, the process of killing babies, has no effect on the declining birth rates is just utterly ridiculous. And I still maintain that the most likely cause of declining fertility rates is leftists, because no one can stand being around the man-hating shrews of the left, and no woman finds a leftist man attractive. And so maybe the reason why they're waiting and delaying until later on in life is because they're just settling. I guess there's no one better on the market. I guess I could tolerate you enough. like I said, the jokes just kind of write themselves. Now, another thing that has gone on here is that Biden at the G7, and he was going to have his meeting with Vladimir Putin. And the press was all trying to be that. I mean, CNN's just been a joke. Let's face that. CNN is being mocked worldwide, just like Biden's being mocked worldwide. Biden is as big of a disgrace internationally as he has been domestically. A complete loony with obvious, undeniable signs of mental decline. The fact that they keep trotting him around and trying to push him as somehow being a legitimate president is elder abuse at this particular point in time. All right, but he went off and he had his meeting with Vladimir Putin. And there's something that was done during this time that I think a lot of people missed. And it is incredibly scary what happened. Now, remember, they were all trying to say that, Trump was Putin's puppet, even though Trump was harsher on Putin than Obama ever could have been. Trump had crushed Putin, crushed the Russian economy. He had gone off and bitch slapped Putin all over the place, marginalizing him to less than a regional player. I mean, Russia and Putin were basically nothing at the time that Trump left office. But just like under Obama, under Biden, Putin apparently is going to get a free pass on everything, even though the left delusionally tries to claim the opposite here. But he had his meeting with Putin, and then he had his press conference afterwards. And during this press conference, he said something that should scare the hell out of everybody about how weak and how disgraceful Biden is. So let's go ahead and roll that clip here and then see if you catch what I catch.
I talked about the proposition that certain critical infrastructure should be off limits to attack, period, by cyber or any other means. I gave them a list, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have it in front of me, 16 specific entities.
Now, did you catch that? Did you catch that? So he's trying to portray himself as being tough on Putin, tough on Russia. You need to stop your cyber attack. But not all cyber attacks, of course. No. We're not expecting you to stop all cyber attacks. We're only expecting you to stop cyber attacks on these 16 infrastructure items. Everything else is apparently fair game. That's what I came away from this clip, is that as he's going through, instead of saying you need to stop all cyber attacks, you need to stop all attacks on the United States. No. You only need to avoid attacking these 16 areas. The rest of it, free game, have at it. What a complete and total disgrace. And they're going to go off and try to say that Biden is tough on Putin. Putin wiped the floor with Biden in this exchange. You know, now imagine the media's reaction here. If Trump had come out of a meeting with Putin and had said, I've come up with a list of 16 areas of the United States they cannot attack. They would all be all over him about, what about all the other areas? Are you now saying, hey, you know, these 16 that are off limits, fine, but the rest of it's fair game? You're just inviting attacks by Putin? Think about that for a moment. He's only marking off limits, 16 items, or 16 infrastructure items, off limits to cyber attacks by Russia, signaling that cyber attacks on anything else and everything else is, oh, perfectly fine. This is Biden. This is the disgrace of the Biden administration, the complete lunacy and stupidity of the left. They are putting this country in danger every single day with this fraud in the White House. And their policies are dangerous and hurtful to the United States. There are people suffering in the United States as a result of leftist policies. Whereas under Trump, we were prospering. This isn't funny anymore. The left is a danger to the United States. They are a threat to the United States. It's not funny. It's not cutesy. And if we don't watch ourselves, what the left's ultimate plan here is to turn us into the Soviet Union under Stalin, Nazi Germany under Hitler, Mao Zedong's China. That is where the left is leading us. And if we don't start getting serious and pushing back and getting these corrupt bureaucrats, these corrupt, unelected bureaucrats out of the government bureaucracy, and getting these frauds who have to lie, cheat, and steal in order to get into office, if we don't take this seriously and start really pushing back and basically recognize the left for what they are, this country is going to be destroyed. We're going to go under. There is no country that's immune from being destroyed from within. And we're going to continue to see dumpster fire after dumpster fire under Biden because he has no concept of reality. Not only because he's in mental decline, but because he's a leftist as well. The left has no concept of even basic facts and reality. And they are putting this country in severe danger. He just went out there and said, outside of these 16 areas, basically, America's, you know, free game for you to attack. Just please, please, you know, just avoid attacking these couple of areas. Everything else is free game. And what signal does that say to the rest of the world? With as marginalized as Putin and Russia has been over the last 4 years, what does that say to the rest of the world and the rest of our enemies that, hey, you can freely attack the United States so long as you just avoid these 16 areas? He should be saying everything is off limits, cut it out, or we're going to crush you. That's what Trump did. Trump didn't play footsie with them. Trump didn't back down. Trump didn't just roll over for Russia and then pretend like he's being tough. No, Trump spoke loudly with his actions. But, you know, Biden with his America Last strategy has basically declared open season on the United States in every way, shape, or form, not only for cyber attacks, but to take advantage of us on every world issue. He has made it very clear that American leadership is on hiatus while he is in office. Now, luckily, there are some Republicans that are growing enough of a backbone, stating that if they are able to gain majorities in 2022 in the House and the Senate, that Biden is going to be a half-term president, that they're going to make sure that he doesn't serve out a full term. There's already enough impeachable offenses on Biden to remove him from office to begin with. And that's even before you get to the fact that he is a fraud, that he was fraudulently and unconstitutionally installed in the White House. Even before you get to that point, his actions in just the past few months have been in direct opposition to the interests of the United States. He has been attacking the country, supporting our enemies, attacking our allies, and attacking this country, weakening our national security on purpose. Basically, you can just sum it up by saying he is openly engaged in treason against the United States, because nobody could be so stupid as to enact the incredibly reckless dumpster fire policies of the Biden administration on accident. These are purposeful and deliberate attacks on the United States. And as dangerous as the left is to the United States and the Biden administration, as much of a threat as he poses, there are other threats that are emerging that we need to be paying attention to. And that is the threat of the scientific community, which is increasingly becoming as fraudulent as the media. So the media is going out there trying to go with their preferred scientists, trying to find a way to justify, cover up, and spin the fact that they have been lying to us for well over a year now on the origins of the coronavirus, along with a lot of the recommendations that they gave were not based off of science, but based off of politics, them trying to satisfy the left-wing politics in order to try and attack and try to attempt a coup against President Trump. Now, they did succeed in their coup, but the media and the scientists are out there trying to spin, rewrite history. And one of my favorite excuses that they give is that Trump made them lie. Oh, yes, Trump made them lie because he said it was a possible lab leak. And, you know, Trump, you know, he was such a liar and it's the boy who cried wolf. So the fact that Trump said it was a lab leak meant that we had to automatically dismiss the idea that it was leaked from a lab. Now, this is funny. This is their excuse on everything. Every time they get caught in a lie, what do they try to do? Well, you know, Trump lies so often, who would have known that it would be true? We just automatically assume that the exact opposite of everything Trump says would be true. Now, what's funny is, time and time again, what ends up happening in these situations is, it turns out that Trump was telling the truth and the media was lying. The media's narrative, time and time again, gets debunked so often. And it turns out Trump was right almost every time. And so the left goes off, lies to us, then claims that Trump was the liar when Trump ends up being found out as being the truth teller that the vast majority of the time. And they try to use that as an excuse. Oh, he lied so much. Well, what did he lie about? Because it seems like the record seems to show that you and the media are the ones who are constantly lying. And what's funny is the media, the ones who get caught on undercover cameras by Project Veritas, admitting and bragging about how they lie and run propaganda, are the ones still out there trying to claim that they're the truth tellers and Trump was the liar. So they want to go off and try to blame Trump. You know, that Trump being so successful and so honest basically made the media lie is what the basic argument is. But of course, they're trying to say that, well, you know, they're the ones that always tell the truth and it was so rare for Trump to tell the truth. Yeah, right. Yeah, bull crap. Time and time again, the fact checkers, the media, they've all been proven to be damn liars. They have been proven wrong on almost everything in their coverage against Trump. And Trump was proven right on almost everything that the media tries to say he lied about. But there's one part of this interview here that is very concerning, because it's not just the fact that there are so many in the scientific community who are just frauds and political hacks, bastardizing their profession in order to try and fit a political narrative, right? Just like the media, which bastardized and destroyed any and all credibility. But there's another part of this, a secondary reason about why scientists are increasingly lying to the public, fraudulently, you know, falsifying their data and research to lie to the American people. Now, they don't say, yes, we lied and this is why, but if you listen to the interview here, you catch on. All right, so let's go ahead and roll that and then see if you catch it.
Joining me now to discuss are Dr. Angela Rasmussen, a virologist at the University of Saskatchewan's Vaccine and Infectious Disease Organization, and Dr. Alina Chan, a postdoctoral researcher and molecular biologist at MIT and Harvard's Broad Institute, who's long argued for the lab leak theory to be taken more seriously. Thank you both for joining me on the show tonight. Alina, let me start with you. New York Times columnist Brett Stevens argues this week that the early dismissal of the lab leak theory was the result of media groupthink, partisanship, enforced by censorship, and he says it's a reminder, quote, that sometimes the most destructive enemies of science can be those who claim to speak in its name. Were the media, was the scientific community as a whole too quick to dismiss this early on as a conspiracy, in your view?
So I want to be quite clear on this point. This is not a blame game. This is a question of possibly the most important question of our lifetimes. Where did this pandemic come from, and how can we stop it from happening again? The question of did it get censored early, that might be true. So I understand why a lot of people were rushing to counter more dangerous speculations about this being a bioweapon, about it coming from racists. I totally understand that.
Now, did you catch it? Did you catch what was probably the most horrific statement you have ever heard out of a so-called scientist's mouth? In case you missed it, let's go ahead and recap what was said. We dismissed the lab leak theory because it was being promoted by racists. So we dismissed it because we didn't want it to become a tool for racists. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There you go. There we go. Now, when all else fails, just declare anybody who disagrees with you on anything as racist, and anything you do is excused. So, yes, first off, the whole thing about how they were trying to go off and claim that, oh, Trump and his allies, Trump and Trump supporters, the Republicans are racist. Therefore, we had to lie so that they couldn't be right. Now, first off, their whole claim that Trump is racist, or their whole claim that the Republicans are racist, this is an old tired trope. They do this all the time because they can't defend their actions. They can't defend their policies. They cannot defend the results of their policies. So they always have to shut down debate. And so, of course, they always just call everybody who disagrees with them on anything racist. You know, it's really tiresome. And when you get down to it, really what's going on is every leftist that tries to accuse everybody else of racist is just basically them not only trying to shut down debate, but they're also trying to hide the fact that they are themselves the damn racist. But think about how they were trying to go through here. Because the bigger implication here is that they bastardized the science and covered up the origins of the coronavirus because they did not want to be perceived as supporting Trump. Let me give you a hint here. They're afraid of cancel culture. They're afraid of the left. They're afraid that if they produce honest scientific research, and that scientific research actually supports what a Republican said, what Donald Trump said, that they would be attacked and their careers destroyed, and they would be canceled by the left-wing mob, which has much more implications for more than just the science around coronavirus, but as far as science regarding everything, that they are bastardizing science in order to fit left-wing narrative because they're afraid of the cancel culture, for some of them, and others because they are complete and total political hacks. They are damn, they're just as damn liars as the media. Either situation here does not bode well for science and scientific research. Now, I mean, this definitely explains all the left-wing science, in quotation marks, as it relates to climate change, you know, about their claims that it's man-made and CO2 emissions rather than naturally occurring. Oh, no, we had to lie to you about climate change because, you know, the racists said it was natural, so we had to come up with something other than natural. And so we've just been lying to you because we didn't want, you know, the so-called racists to have a tool by being right, by telling the truth. And by the way, we can't actually explain what it is that they have done or anything that backs up the claim that they are racist. But you know what? We just don't want them to be right on anything because, you know, politics. You know, and if our science actually backed up or debunked the left-wing narrative, we would be canceled and defunded. This is sickening. You know, this isn't the first time science and the science community has been bastardized throughout history. We've seen scientists in many cultures throughout history bastardizing their research in order to fit the political narratives of left-wing leaders. Because, one, they're afraid that true science debunking the left-wing narrative will cause them to be defunded. In other situations, they reported whatever conclusion the authoritarian wanted in order to avoid being killed. You know, so the scientists have been bastardizing the science for a long time, you know, for thousands of years, out of fear, out of, you know, politics. And so it's no surprise that we see that today with the left, with as violent and crazy as they are, with cancel culture, all of that, that scientists are willing to once again bastardize the research in order to, you know, keep funding, but also to avoid the left destroying their careers through cancel culture. And of course, they want to try and go off and just blame racism. Yes, we, all of our bad, despicable hate behavior, all of our lies are just because we're lying to the public in order to stop racism. Now, given that they've lied about everything else in the media, and now that we are finding more and more that how many of the members of the scientific community are complete liars and frauds, it becomes no surprise that their claims of racism against President Trump and the Republican Party are that the country is systemically racist is also a damn lie. So what all this means is you just can't trust anything that the media says, and increasingly, you cannot trust a damn thing coming out of the scientific community, because they're all damn liars and political hacks, or they're just bowing to the left in order to avoid being canceled. So they've lost credibility. I mean, right now, I don't have much trust in any way, shape, or form in the scientific community, given how many times they have been caught lying to us. And the coronavirus isn't the first time that the scientific community has been caught lying to us. I bring up the whole lies that the scientific community tries to push regarding climate change, because over the last 20 years, there have been at least a minimum of two major hacks into the emails of these climate scientists and the email chains, where they were openly admitting and bragging to each other about how they were lying and manipulating the data to fit a preconceived narrative, that the results were already predetermined before the research began. So yeah, when it comes down to it, you can't trust the scientists, because the scientists are just leftists in disguise. The scientists are who's being claimed as the scientists and the experts are all being handpicked by the left, while actual true scientists and doctors were being silenced, censored, and canceled. No, these people are a complete and total disgrace, and none of them should be involved in any research whatsoever that has any government funding, because we should not be funding this fraud. And speaking of fraud, we once again turn our attention back to the media. So as you know, Project Veritas, when they were doing their undercover video on CNN, the CNN producers, in addition to admitting that they purposely lie to the American public, and in their own words, admit to engaging in propaganda, one of the things that they had brought up as well, when they didn't realize that they were being caught on video, was the fact that they were targeting Matt Gaetz. Now that Donald Trump was out of office, they were going to be targeting heavily Matt Gaetz in order to try and get him removed from office. And the fact that in that very same statement, they talk about lying and running propaganda, it comes as no surprise that Matt Gaetz has come under severe attack from the left and from the media. Well, there, Matt Gaetz comes out and reports something that is very troubling, that the media, so-called reporters, are threatening people in order to try and coerce them to lie about Matt Gaetz. So how does this go? So the media is going up to people who have either met Matt Gaetz one time, or maybe they've known him off and on throughout a few years. And so the media is going up to people and going, you know what? We're going to run this story, and we're going to make all these accusations against Matt Gaetz. And we need a source to corroborate. So here's the thing. If you agree to tell us what we want to hear, we will keep your identity anonymous. Yes, we'll keep it anonymous. Your name won't appear in the article whatsoever. You'll be safe. However, if you refuse to cooperate with us, if you refuse to tell us what we tell you to tell us, then we're going to put your name in the article. And that's basically the threat. And what is the connotation there? If you don't tell us what we want to hear, we're going to put your name in the article. And that way, you are being outed to the left-wing mob who are going to attack you. They're going to go after your career. They're going to try and cancel you, get you fired. They're going to try and destroy your livelihood. They're going to show up outside of your home and harass you if you don't tell us what we want to hear. And this is what we want to hear. But if you agree to just say, yeah, that's true, or yeah, I witnessed that, then we'll keep you anonymous. Yes, that is what's going on here. They are threatening people. They are threatening to dox them, is really what it amounts to, that they are going to dox these people to the left-wing mob and destroy their lives if they don't cooperate and tell the reporters what they want to hear about Matt Gaetz. It doesn't matter if it's a lie. They just want to be able to claim they have a source, a witness, so that they have an excuse to put that in the report in order to signal to the Democrats on Capitol Hill, hey, we now have a claimed witness. Oh, let's open up an investigation with the FBI or just a regular Capitol Hill investigation. Now, I don't get why they're all of a sudden concerned about having, you know, someone claim to be a witness. They've never cared about having any actual sources in the past. But that's what they're doing here. You understand the dangers of that? And you wonder why it is we can't trust a damn thing the media says or does. They have been caught lying to us. They have been caught on video bragging about lying to us. And now we have them going out there threatening people to basically claim to be a source for the dirt the media wants to run, or they will be doxxed and harassed by the left. The media is completely out of control here. And what should be going on is that these people should be filing lawsuits against the media if their name ever appears in any of these articles. And as a result, they are attacked, they are harassed by anybody. They should immediately sue the media and point out how they were threatening them, how they tried to coerce them, and how putting their names in the article was to send a signal to anybody else who may refuse to cooperate with the media. The media, much like the Democrat Party, is now becoming a criminal operation here. This is illegal behavior by the media, but of course they don't care. The left has gotten away with everything without any consequences because the Republican Party has pretty much just rolled over and let the Democrats engage in every illegal, unethical behavior they can think of. So it's no wonder that they go off and they escalate their criminal and illegal activity. My God. You know, this, I'm at a loss for words, right? The media, the Democrat Party have positioned themselves directly as enemies of democracy, as enemies of the United States, as traitors to the country. And they do so while attempting to position themselves as the defenders of such. Yes, we must destroy the United States in order to protect it, apparently, is their logic here. You know, and this is why, and this is the type of crap that gets me thinking more and more that I need to step up to the plate and sacrifice time with my family in order to run for the Senate so that I can go off and fix a lot of the laws, write the constitutional amendments needed in order to stop this unending attack on our democracy by the left. So sick. Now, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next story, and I don't really have a good transition here, but it just goes on to show how the left has nothing but double standards, how they are fraudulent, and that government agencies and offices are filled with a bunch of political hacks. Well, okay, yeah, it's government, big deal, but, you know, of course they have political hacks there, but the bureaucracy is filled with a bunch of political hacks who abuse their authority all the time to twist, bend, and warp things to claim that basically Democrat presidents have more authority and power than Republican presidents. So the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, came out and ruled that Biden didn't break the law by halting wall funding. Now, of course, this shows how much they favor Democrats, because there was a similar situation when it came to President Trump back in 2019. The office concluded that the actions are not comparable to when they declared Trump's actions illegal in 2019 when he froze military assistance to Ukraine, to which the GAO deemed illegal. But when it comes to Biden halting funding allocated by the Congress to the border wall, no, that's not the same thing. You know, what Biden did was not illegal because Biden wasn't freezing the money. It's just a programmatic delay, which is to say, under his administration, it's never going to be restarted, never be completed. So yes, it is a freezing. But in order to go through here and try and justify basically saying, well, we declared it illegal under Trump, but we're declaring it legal under Biden, they just came up with a new term. They just redefined what it was called. It's not freezing. It's programmatic delay, don't you know? And that's not illegal to delay, even though if that delay is indefinitely and is actually has no difference than freezing. So you see how they use and they try to manipulate language in order to justify the idea that Democrats have more authority in office as president than a Republican president. How they can justify being able to use that office to declare what Republicans do illegal, but when Democrats do the exact same thing, oh, no, we're just going to use different words in order to try and claim it's legal. Unbelievable. This is why people have no faith in the credibility of government whatsoever at this particular point in time. I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but it's the very fact that corruption, the deep state, the complete and total hypocrisy, the complete and total abuse of power that we see day in and day out. Of course, there's no confidence in the legitimacy of government. Of course, there's no confidence in our government operating legitimately, because they prove to us every single day that they are illegitimate, fraudulent hacks engaged in double standards in order to basically say the left operates without any laws. They are immune to every laws, and the Republicans, it doesn't matter what they do, will find some way to declare it illegal. Unbelievable. Just another group of people that need to be fired for corruption, for abusing their position for politics. And then we go off and we see here, you know, these next two items, you know, the next two headlines. Biden administration declares transgender students are protected under Title IX. And then Biden administration expands programs to allow more young migrants to stay in the United States. Now, here's a good question. Where does he get any such authority? The president of the United States does not have the authority to write laws. The president of the United States doesn't have the authority to change laws. So where does he all of a sudden get to say, well, I'm going to amend Title IX in order to add another group of people to it who are not actually covered by it under the law? Where does he get any such authority? Where does any such authority ever come from? He has no such authority. He is abusing the authority. He is violating the Constitution here. And then when it comes on to say he's expanding program to allow more migrants to stay in the United States, where does he get any such authority to expand it? I mean, you understand here that Title IX is a law passed by Congress. Any changes to Title IX has to be approved by Congress by writing a new legislation to amend it in order to include another group. And when it comes to these programs to allow more migrants into the United States, which is to say to allow more illegal immigrants into the United States, you know what? We have immigration laws, and any program regarding immigration has to be written and approved by Congress, and thereby any program being expanded, the expansion has to be approved by Congress. We have an executive branch that operates lawlessly. We have a bureaucracy that operates lawlessly, that are usurping the powers of the other branches of government and just going all willy-nilly about it, just making up new laws as he goes, laws that he doesn't have the authority to write, laws that he doesn't have the authority to change. And so all we are seeing here right now is just massive corruption, massive abuse of power, and basically we have a long list of impeachment charges that have already developed under the Biden administration. I mean, we could talk about how he's illegitimate to begin with and he's unconstitutionally seated in the White House to begin with, but even at that, you take a look at his conduct in office, his acts against the interest of the United States, and his complete and total abuse of power, and his refusal to actually honor his oath of office are impeachable offenses.
Ugh.
And then the next article here, Virginia will give higher education assistance to illegal immigrants. So they are knowingly using taxpayer dollars to engage in helping fund illegal activity. You understand that? They are using government offices to direct taxpayer funds to fund illegal activity, which is assisting people in the country who are here illegally. Hey, Kamala Harris, where are you? You still say that you're trying to research the root cause of mass illegal immigration? Here's an example of a cause, is the fact that you promote open borders and then give them taxpayer assistance and give them taxpayer funding to give them free stuff. Unfreaking believable. But of course you can't point any of this out to the left. The ideological subversion by the Marxists is so complete in so many people that they are unable to take a look at anything and come to any sense of a rational, reasonable thought or conclusion, as outlined in this next story here. So as you know, Juneteenth is now going to be a federal holiday. It passed with unanimous support of the House and the Senate, or near unanimous support. And yet, the left is freaking out. The left is upset about this. They can't believe that the Republicans would support Juneteenth as a federal holiday and think that this was somehow some type of sabotage, or that the Republican Party is going out there and trying to only support it in order to try and hurt the left or to try and market themselves to minorities. Okay, let's actually analyze this. Juneteenth is a great idea for a federal holiday because it marks a victory of the Republican Party against the Democrats. It marks when the Republican Party defeated the Democrats in the Civil War and freed the slaves, forced the Democrats to give up the slaves. So Juneteenth, it makes a lot of sense here as far as why the Republicans would support it, because it's a holiday that exists because of the Republican Party standing up against the hatred, racism, and bigotry of the Democrat Party. I'm just surprised that the Democrat Party actually goes off and supports it, considering that in all reality, the Democrat Party, the only thing that's changed about them is their marketing. Now they market segregation as creating safe spaces. But more leftists are freaking out and making such absurd, irrational, and basically delusional statements about this. So here we go. I'm probably going to mispronounce this name. Jamira Burley goes to Twitter and goes off and tries to say, well, Juneteenth as a federal holiday, big deal. You know, is basically the sum of the tweet, because ultimately, it's a pretty empty gesture because, you know, lynching is still legal in America. Lynching is still legal in America? Where? This is one of those things that is just a complete fraudulent lie. There is nowhere in the United States where lynching is legal. Nowhere. It is illegal to lynch someone. It's covered under the murder laws and the hate crime laws. There is no law or no, you know, exemption from the murder laws if you do it by lynching. Guess what else we don't have a law against? We don't have a law that says you specifically can't murder someone with a hammer. So I guess since the law doesn't say by hammer specifically, then somehow murdering someone by a hammer is now legal? It means you can do it? I got a newsflash for you. Murder is murder. You know, lynching someone doesn't make them more or less dead than what they would be under any other murder law. Lynching is illegal. And we also have hate crime laws for those who survive the lynching. Guess what? Lynching would still fall under the hate crime laws. Lynching is not legal, you dumb idiot. Yeah, I know, dumb and idiot is the same thing, but I caught myself in the middle of that and prevented myself from saying what I really wanted to say. But you complete moron. Lynching is illegal in the United States. It's not legal. It's an empty gesture because lynching is legal in the United States. Show me one place, one area in the United States where you can lynch someone and not be committing a crime for it. You see how they have no basis in reality? How they just make these absurd claims in order to try and stoke racial tension. Claims that have no basis in fact in order to try and stoke racial tension and create racial divide in order to promote hate and bigotry in the country. In case you haven't figured it out, yes, lynching is illegal. It's actually, lynching is more illegal than most murders. Because if you lynch someone and you lynch someone of a minority, you're committing two crimes. I mean, do we really need to say that, hey, we believe that if they die this way, they're more dead than if they die this way. So, you know, we need a law to cover them being more dead than just regular dead. Okay, and then now we get back into another story here about more corruption and abuse of power destroying the legitimacy of our government. The U.S. Appeals Court rules that North Carolina's 20-week abortion ban is unconstitutional. And I want to ask them, how? Show me where in the Constitution it says anything about the right to an abortion. In fact, you know what? Let's make it easier. Show me anything anywhere in the Constitution that says anything either way about abortion. It doesn't. The Constitution is set up that, to say that the federal government doesn't have any authority except that which is specifically stated within the Constitution. And then we have the amendments under the Constitution stating what our specific rights as citizens are. You know, things that the government shall not infringe, and yet they infringe all the time. It's amazing how when you look at the Constitution, you see constitutional amendments that says, thou shalt not infringe. And these judges come up and say, well, yes, we can actually infringe upon it and it still be constitutional. What? And then you see something like abortion, which can't be found anywhere in the Constitution. And yet they declare that that's a constitutional right. It's like, so let me get this straight. If it's in the Constitution, we don't have that right. But if it's not in the Constitution, that is a right. That's the logic they're going by. But you know what the Constitution also says? It also says that authority not specifically allocated to the federal government is left as the authority of the state, and any authority not delegated to the state and the state constitution is left as the authority and rights of the people. So if the state goes off and says that, hey, we want to ban abortion altogether, guess what? That is completely constitutional on the basis that there's nothing in the Constitution that prohibits that. This whole abortion is a constitutional right is a made-up fraud. Roe v. Wade is where this fraud started, where the court decided they're going to abuse their position to unconstitutionally rewrite the Constitution, which they do not have the authority to do, in order to amend it to create a new right that does not exist in the Constitution. See, we got judges all over the place making rulings that are in direct violation or contradiction of the law. We have judges all over the place that are issuing rulings that are in direct violation of the Constitution, you know, abusing their power to basically claim that they have the authority to just rewrite laws and rewrite the Constitution to fit their political ideology, even though the Constitution says, no, that's not how you amend the Constitution. This is the two ways in which the Constitution can be amended. I mean, it is just utterly sickening how all of this corruption and abuse of power, and yet somehow because they are judges, they get the final word. They are all powerful and we cannot question them. Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can. You know, a lot of the times they try to rewrite it by just the way Joe Biden is trying to do it, by changing the definition of words. You know, changing definitions, using an alternative dictionary from that which was used at the time the legislation was created, at the time that the Constitution was written. But oftentimes, they just make it up. They issue rulings that directly violate the laws and the Constitution, and we're not allowed to question that. And we're not allowed to speak out against that. You know, politicians just roll over and go, well, yes, they have the final word. No, they do not. You know, just like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the entire Biden administration needs to be impeached and removed from office, there are a lot of federal judges sitting on the bench, abusing their authority, violating the Constitution, that need to be impeached and removed. They shouldn't be rewarded with unlimited power to violate their seat on the bench, to violate the Constitution, and get paid to attack our Constitution. This is why people have no faith left in the legitimacy of our government, because they prove each and every day as to the illegitimacy of our government, operating in direct violation and outside of the constitutional limits that they are supposed to operate within. All right, one last thing here. So Tucker Carlson comes out with a report suggesting that it's possible that the Capitol rioters, the people who stirred up the violence and the rioting, that some of them were undercover FBI agents. You know what? I'm not even surprised. I'm not. You know, we have seen too much to be surprised, too much to be shocked, too much to, you know, there would be a time when something like this being said would just automatically be dismissed as crazy, conspiracy, you know, that is unbelievable. But after everything that's gone on over the years, this is completely believable. It's completely believable. I mean, we've seen the government complete abuse of power, the political hacks abusing their offices in order to target political opponents. Now, we also know that there were members of Antifa who were at the Capitol riots dressed up as Trump supporters. We know that the Capitol Police invited the protesters into the Capitol building. You know, we know that they were invited in. They were being escorted around. So the fact that there were members of Antifa disguising themselves as Trump supporters causing violence is not, you know, is not shocking. But now, sadly, just hearing how the FBI may have actually helped orchestrate the Capitol riot is not even shocking or surprising. That just seems par for the course with how the FBI has operated for years now, starting with the Obama administration, how the intelligence community has become completely corrupted by left-wing political hacks who abuse the government agencies for their political motives and gains, to abuse it to attack political opponents. We saw it with the IRS. We saw it with Crossfire Hurricane. We've seen it time and time again that at this particular point in time, there is nothing unbelievable or even shocking about finding out that the FBI may have been involved in orchestrating the Capitol riots in order to shut down the Republicans objecting to the fraudulent electoral vote that put Biden and or got Biden installed into the White House unconstitutionally. I don't know. You know what? You know what? If something does not change by the end of 2022, if we don't take super majorities and start just going off on a bevy of constitutional amendments, and I'm talking about supermajorities in the House, supermajorities in the Senate, and supermajorities in the state legislatures and the governorships. If we don't take supermajorities and be able to issue a bevy of constitutional amendments to end the assault by the left on our democracy, along with a whole host of new laws that ends the corruption, abuse of power, and illegal activity, or at least holds them accountable to such, if we don't do that, our country is over. The United States is done. It's going the way of Venezuela. You know, and the only two options that we're going to be left is either surrender the United States to the left's dream of turning us into the next Stalin-style Soviet Union, Hitler-style Nazi Germany, Mao Zedong China. Either we surrender to that or we have to exercise the Second Amendment. If we don't win in 2022, that's going to be our two choices. Either we have to exercise the Second Amendment in order to save the country, or we surrender it and we become another fallen country under the rule of a murderous authoritarian dictator. Yeah. All right. So that's it for this particular episode. I hate to leave you on such a sad and depressing note. If this is your first time listening in, don't forget to hit subscribe. subscribe and podcast just means follow. Just means that you're going to get all the new episodes. It doesn't cost you anything. Don't forget to leave me a rating and a review and share this episode around on social media, wherever links to this podcast are still allowed to be shared. All right. Thank you so much. And I will be back again soon.